This podcast is brought to you as a service of Berks on Learning. For more information, visit the blog at berks02.blogspot.com. Well, welcome back. In today's podcast, I want to talk about quality in online education. I've been working with the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation for over 12 years now in the area of online learning. The Sloan Foundation has provided a great deal of financial support to the University of Illinois to assist with the implementation of online programs on all three of our campuses, Chicago, Springfield, and Urbana-Champaign. As many of you know, the Sloan Foundation has funded the startup of the Sloan Consortium, which is usually called Sloan-C. According to the Sloan-C website, quote, "The purpose of the Sloan Consortium is to help learning organizations continually improve quality, scale, and breadth according to their own distinctive missions so that education will be part of everyday life, accessible and affordable for anyone, anywhere, at any time, in a wide variety of disciplines," unquote. Dr. Frank Mayadas is the program director at the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, leading its initiative in online learning. In 1998, Frank developed the metaphor of pillars that support quality online learning. Frank likes the number five. Five of something can be easily remembered. If there are only three things on a list, well, you might not have enough categories. And people certainly have a difficult time remembering a list that's more than five. How many of you can remember Chickering and Gamson's seven principles for good practice in undergraduate education? How many of you can remember Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People? Well, Frank came up with five pillars that support quality online learning. If any of these pillars are weak, quality will sag, metaphorically speaking, that is. So there we have the metaphor. All five pillars are necessary to support quality online education. Oh, and by the way, the five pillars are access, learning effectiveness, cost-effectiveness, student satisfaction, and faculty satisfaction. And I'll be saying a lot more about these five pillars shortly. Actually, as far as I can tell, the use of the term pillars first appeared in an article in the ASEE Prism magazine. This was in 1998 in a paper entitled Learning on Demand. And I'll put the exact citation in the show notes for this podcast. However, these five pillars were actually itemized by Frank Mayadas in an interview with Gary Miller from Penn State University that was published in the American Journal of Distance Education the previous year, 1997 that is, but at that time Frank called them the five assessment factors. Frank said, quote, "I think in terms of five assessment factors, all of which must show favorable outcomes and favorable progress in order for online learning to succeed," unquote. Well, he didn't say online learning. Instead, he said asynchronous learning networks, which is the type of instructor-led online education that many of us have implemented. By 1999, the pillars were an established part of Sloan's thinking about online learning. I remember hosting the first Sloan Summer Research Workshop in Urbana, Illinois, in August of 1999, where the discussions were focused on the pillars of learning effectiveness and faculty satisfaction. And for the past 7+ years, I've talked about the pillars when I've given faculty development presentations, and internally we've thought a great deal about these pillars, and we always have discussed the pillars in qualitative terms. I now want to go briefly through the five pillars and talk about them from the perspective of our online degree programs at the University of Illinois at Springfield. I've played a role in developing these online degree programs, and I regularly teach an online course for the UIS campus. The online program at UIS has tripled its enrollments in the past 4 years, and now fully 25% of all the course credits taught by the campus come from online courses. And more than 1 in 6 students at UIS are online-only students. That is, they only take online courses and never come to the campus. Okay, now, on to the five quality pillars. The first pillar is access. Many online students today would not be enrolled in degree programs if these programs were not available online. We're providing new access to higher education. These online programs make it possible for place-bound and time-restricted individuals to work toward a college degree, which ultimately will benefit their own lives and those of their families, and also will benefit our society. These online students not only have access to online courses and degrees, but they also have online access to a wide range of student support services, such as advising, library services, the help desk, and so on. The implementation of an e-tuition rate at UIS has certainly given students throughout the nation new access to affordable online degree programs, since they don't have to pay out-of-state tuition. To me, access has always been the most important of the five pillars, since if we aren't providing additional students access to higher education, then we really aren't accomplishing anything of significance. The second pillar is learning effectiveness. Of course, I wouldn't be such an advocate of online learning if it produced inferior learning outcomes, but that isn't the case at all. We now know that online learning can be as effective as classroom-based learning, or for some students, even more effective. And this claim is based on solid research findings. Online students at UIS view their degrees to be completely equivalent to degrees earned by students on campus, and perhaps they're more valuable since earning their degrees online demonstrates that they have the drive and determination to do all this from a distance, while gaining new knowledge about the internet and collaboration. The third of the Sloan quality pillars is cost-effectiveness. The American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language defines cost-effective as, quote, economical in terms of the goods or services received for the money spent, unquote. Students certainly view online learning at UIS to be cost-effective, and they comment that the UIS online education is indeed affordable to them. They realize that the e-tuition is a very fair price to pay to earn a degree with the University of Illinois brand name, and the financial costs of earning their degrees online are good investments in their futures. The fourth and fifth pillars relate to satisfaction for both students and faculty. The idea being that if students are not satisfied with the online learning experience, they won't come back and take additional online courses. And if faculty aren't satisfied, they will go back to teaching only in the classroom. So the fourth pillar is student satisfaction. Students are enrolling in online courses semester after semester at UIS, and we now see students who have taken 10 or more online courses. And certainly we now have a large number of graduates of our online degree programs. Each semester, the online sections of courses fill long before the on-campus sections fill, which certainly tells me something about student satisfaction as it's related to our online classes. Students are telling their friends about the quality of online learning at UIS. They're very pleased with what they're learning, and they're also pleased with the student support services to which they have access. The fifth and final pillar, then, is faculty satisfaction. Faculty are finding value in their online teaching. They very much enjoy getting to know their online students on a personal level through regular online interactions, and they find positive benefit in having a more diverse group of students in their online classrooms than they have on campus. This past fall, UIS enrolled online students from 45 states, a much more diverse population than is taking classes on the campus. Faculty also are enjoying the anytime, anyplace aspects of online teaching, as online teachers often joke, being able to teach from home while wearing your pajamas. But seriously, online learning provides flexibility for faculty as well as students. Flexibility in their daily schedules, their commutes to the campus, and in their ability to travel to conferences. Okay, so it seems that UIS is doing a fine job in addressing the five quality pillars. However, I was speaking with Frank Mayadas a few days ago. Remember, he's the program director at the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, who's managing their program in online learning. And he started pressing me about thinking of the pillars in quantitative terms. I have to admit, that isn't anything I've done in the past. So let's think a little more about this now. Access. What's the evidence that we're really providing new access to higher education? What's the evidence that we're enrolling new students in our online programs? and not just the same students who would have taken courses on the campus. Well, for the access pillar, we actually have pretty good quantitative data. Almost a quarter of our online enrollments now come from out of state, which clearly means that they're new students, since the on-campus population is about 98% from in-state. For some online majors in the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, such as History, English, and Philosophy, more than half of the majors now come from out of state. And we've tabulated the online majors from within Illinois by their county of residence, and we know that many of our students reside in counties far from Springfield. So as far as access goes, I think we now have some pretty good quantitative data to show that we're providing new access to individuals who previously did not have the opportunity to earn a college degree. Let's go on to the second pillar, which is learning effectiveness. What's the evidence that online learning is as effective as classroom learning? Here I'm not sure that we have as much quantitative data as we should have, at least for the UIS campus. We do know that the grade distribution for online and on-campus classes is essentially identical. We have the same faculty teaching the same courses in both modes. And we do know that our retention rates in online courses are within a percentage point or two of our on-campus retention. We do have a lot of anecdotal evidence from students and faculty related to perceptions of online learning effectiveness, but that isn't quantitative data. We've started to use ePortfolios to track the work produced by online and on-campus students, but I haven't seen any good quantitative data come from this initiative yet. So this certainly is an area where we need to do more, and maybe the campus folks are doing something here that I'm simply not aware of. We certainly can fall back on the published literature, which shows that online learning is indeed as effective as on-campus learning, but we really need to gather some quantitative data for the UIS campus itself. Cost-effectiveness is the third pillar, and it is interesting to me that we don't have better quantitative data here. Early on, the UIS campus argued that online instruction was more costly than on-campus instruction, and the campus actually implemented a fee for online courses amounting to $25 per credit hour. This fee is fairly significant. With more than 3,000 course enrollments during the spring 2006 semester, that means over 11,000 credit hours from online courses, so this fee will raise more than $275,000 to support the online program. This fee is quite significant for a small campus with about 3,500 FTE students. But I think we need to go back and re-examine this. The on-campus students all have access to the same Blackboard course management system as used by the online students, and the on-campus students use all the other technologies as well, such as the plagiarism detection software at Turnitin.com. And everyone has access to the technology help desk, so why would we think that online instruction is more costly than on-campus instruction? Of course, the on-campus costs typically don't factor in the cost of the classrooms. Of course, we'll have to look at class size here to see if there are differences between the size of online and on-campus classes. At any rate, the cost-effectiveness pillar is something we certainly need to revisit in the coming months. Student satisfaction is the fourth pillar. Again, I think we have some good quantitative data related to student satisfaction. We have the results of numerous formal surveys, and of course the retention data I just mentioned. With our new student registration system, we can track the most popular classes, even after those classes have filled. And last fall, the 6 most viewed classes in the registration system were all online classes, and something like 15 of the top 20 were also online. In addition, more than 50% of the enrollments for the summer 2005 semester were in online classes. To me, all of these numbers suggest that students are indeed satisfied with the online courses at UIS. Faculty satisfaction is the fifth pillar. I'm not aware of any formal surveys of our faculty, but clearly this is something we need to have. However, one quantitative measure of faculty satisfaction is that no faculty have dropped out from online teaching. That is, all faculty who have taught online have returned to teach online again. Moreover, the online degree programs at UIS have been established by a vote of the departmental faculty. The increasing number of online degrees at UIS indicates to me that faculty are supportive of online teaching. In addition, the fact that online enrollments at UIS have tripled over the last 4 years indicates that many faculty are quite willing to teach in the online environment. Overall, however, I do think we need to get better quantitative data in all of the pillar areas, as Frank Mayadas suggested. We need to develop a quality metric and revisit this metric each year with new quantitative results to see if we've improved. In some ways, we need to use this quantitative data in a process of continuous quality improvement. I'm confident that the quantitative data will assure our faculty, staff, and administrators that the quality of our online programs is high and is improving each year. I think it should be energizing to everyone to see quantitatively that we're doing so well with our online programs. To sum up, it's clear to me that we have a lot more work to do to quantify our online programs in terms of the Sloan C pillars. This certainly is something I intend to work on in the coming months, and I hope to be able to come back with another podcast on this topic, and hopefully a conference presentation and a journal publication as well. So stay tuned. If you have any ideas on how to quantify your online programs in the areas related to the five Sloan C quality pillars, I would like to hear about it. You can contact me by email at burkso2@gmail.com. Of course, if you've actually performed a detailed quantitative analysis, by all means, let me know. I'm sure that everyone at Sloan C would be interested in learning about your results. Well, that wraps up this podcast. So until next time, this is Burks, signing off.